Today's FanLUN Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's title fight with 101 odds on either fighter landing a punch during the fight. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome to the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Monday, May 1st.
March 1st.
Hello. It's a Monday morning. I guess I was a little bit behind there, or maybe a little bit too ahead.
You're a couple months ahead.
But hey, welcome in. Good morning to everybody out there. No matter how you are listening, no matter where you are listening from, we are thankful. Thank you for making the Blitz a part of your morning routine. Let's get the week started in a good way, and let's do that right now. Hey, my name is Rick Butler. Joined to my left, that is Brandon Orrick, and joined to my right, back behind the booth, the one and only Chance Collins. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing?
Doing pretty good, Rick.
Tremendous.
Doing pretty good.
Good stuff?
Yeah, feeling pretty good, man. A little rainy outside. Feeling good?
Yeah, a little rainy. I guess we had the all the storms kind of pass through over the weekend, but I got to say, not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Baseball still got their games in, and hopefully everybody had a good time over the weekend. Brandon, happy birthday. One day late, as we were a couple days early on Friday last week. How you doing?
I'm tired.
Yeah? Celebrating year 26 off in the right way, huh?
I suppose. It was a good time.
Good. Good, good, good. I imagine that we will have plenty of stories as, man... Maybe even including some former people that the audience may know of.
I almost died.
Yeah? Did you?
That's what they say.
But did you die?
No.
Good. We're thankful for that. That's a hell of a story right there. Who can give that story the best? Like, who had to give it to you in hindsight?
I mean, I remember it.
Oh. Well, when you say, you know, somebody had to tell me.
Well, in the moment, I didn't think I almost died.
It was afterwards.
You want me to tell it now? Okay. I was just sitting on a... We were at this bar, and they've got like a deck.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
And
oh,
I,
you can already tell.
I just lifted myself up and sat on the edge there.
Uh-oh.
It was a nice...
sturdy?
Well, no. It seemed sturdy at the time. But it was big enough for me to sit on. So I leaned up there. I sat on it. Everybody talking to everybody. Everybody's having a good time. The next thing I know...
Uh-oh.
A piece of wood falls off into the street.
Oh, man.
And... Everyone thought that I almost fell off with it, but I never felt in danger. I don't know.
Oh, man.
Did you feel the, you know, whatever kind of break that did happen?
No.
No?
I wow. just, well, I felt it move, and then I heard it hit the ground.
Oh, okay. See, when you're saying you're sitting on the wooden bench, I'm thinking to myself, okay, there's one of two things that could happen. Either it's going to break, and he's just going to go straight down, or... This is a situation where somebody came and, you know, maybe tried to scare you from behind.
No.
And you just took a tumble
backwards.
Well,
no one could have scared me from behind because behind was the street.
Yeah, there's the big wood plank. It looks like the actual plank from Ed, Edd, and Eddie.
Yeah, all grown up.
Yeah, there you go. So anyways, more stories on the way here coming up later in the show. But man, we got some stuff to talk about this weekend. Man, a couple of things happened this weekend.
Yeah, we stink.
Yeah, get people excited about the future, whether that is in basketball or football. That is the unfortunate part. So we certainly got some stuff to talk about for both. Tennessee basketball had a game on Saturday afternoon. Did not go Tennessee's way. That was sandwiched in between two Tennessee football, potential Tennessee football announcements, one on Friday and one on Sunday, that also did not go Tennessee's way. Now, I got to tell you, on the football side of things, I have way more positives on that. Like, way more encouraging things about, you know, why this weekend is still a indication of, you know, a different era of Tennessee football. Why that's not exactly what I believe to be representative of the beginning of the Heupel era. But Brandon, on the basketball side of things,
not good.
I got nothing. I got absolutely nothing for you. We know this team can be good, yada, yada, yada. So many people are sick of hearing that. Because the issue is that you haven't looked that good in a long time. Maybe Kansas, who Kansas just turned around and had an incredible win against Baylor, but Tennessee has not gone really the same route.
When is the last time we looked good?
It's a good question. I would say, maybe on first glance,
South Carolina. I mean, you beat them by 20 points.
Are you focusing, or are you taking into consideration your opponent's talent level?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm just...
And yeah, South Carolina.
The last time you looked good.
You've had three 20-point wins this year, all in SEC play.
It's about
so I
two...
guess your last one was South Carolina.
2 weeks ago. And then before that, what, Kentucky? But you really didn't even look good in the first half in that game.
The last 8 minutes you needed for that one.
I mean, I guess the last time you looked good against a quality opponent would have been Kansas.
So a month ago.
And
that's tough right now. Again, we have unfortunate things to talk about today in the Tennessee football or in the Tennessee sports world. The idea behind talking about these unfortunate things is you try to find the positives and you're going to see where they're going to go from there. Again, in football, I have plenty of positives that I still believe are not indicative of the two quarterbacks who did not commit to Tennessee over the weekend. But, man, we're going to talk about this basketball team. We're going to talk about its final game coming up on Sunday of the regular season. We're going to talk about the two tournaments coming up. But I want to find the positives. But, man, again, I got to tell you, I'm having a very hard time. It's not to say that everything is certainly wrong, but, man, ending the season with one of those kind of losses, that was a gut punch. It was a gut punch. 865-546-8200 if you want to get in with us today and talk about either of these football or basketball teams or news or anything like that. Let's see. Brandon, did you have anything on that you're about to say?
I mean, just the basketball. It's just so frustrating, especially when you're playing an Auburn team like that, and they're an average team at best, and they didn't even have their best player, and it's just struggling. I mean, we went from this team being enjoyable and fun at the start of the year. And now it's a complete 180. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch much of the game on Saturday.
Sure.
I turned it off.
Let me ask you, have you seen a game this year in which the two freshmen played pretty good and nobody else played pretty good?
Yeah.
Well, then you saw the game. You saw the game. Brandon, we had 6 points from our bench. Santiago Vescovi scored all six. Not that it got much playing time. But again, Jaden Springer hits 20. Keon Johnson hits 23. Pons hits 10, and nobody else scores double digits. So we have seen this.
Same old song and dance.
Yeah, we've seen this TV show before, and that's what's tough about it. We wanted an evolution, but instead we're getting stuck in these reruns. So that's a little bit about what is on the beginning of the menu here today. Going to be talking about some of the weekend news between the basketball team and the football team. And then we'll see what else we can get into. Again, 865-546-8200. Brandon, do you have any kind of preference about whether you would want to start with the basketball or the football?
They're both
daunting enough.
Well, I mean, neither one's positive, so, I mean, it doesn't really matter. Let's just roll with basketball.
All right. We'll roll with a little more basketball, and we'll keep talking about this Tennessee-Auburn game. Again, as Tennessee loses on the road 77-72 with only the regular season finale remaining in the schedule. But again, not a great game for Tennessee. Lots of continued issues, but we will get into all that coming up next. So do not go anywhere. Hey, you're listening to Fan Run Radio. You're listening to The Blitz. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. When we call up on no and show up, man, them the shot toss.
10:18 back on the Blitz. Brandon Chance and Rick with you till 12, talking a little Tennessee basketball and the struggles that continue to plague this team as they lose 77-72 on Saturday. And it's just an anomaly as to why this team, and because you look at this team on paper, and we've been talking about this for, I feel like, all season long since the start of conference play.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, I don't understand why this team struggles. I mean, I do, but like I don't understand what's wrong with John Fulkerson. Obviously, Triple J is still in a funk. He's still dealing with that injury. And Vescovi is just broken. I mean, Vescovi's just not the same player that he was last year.
Yeah. You know, I heard one reoccurring comment throughout the afternoon, throughout the night on Saturday that, you know what, it might have been a good thing that you didn't watch because maybe you didn't hear this. Maybe this will be a fresh idea in your mind because I've really been going back and forth on kind of what I believe about this. I think I heard a little bit of a reoccurring thought over the weekend that, you know, maybe looking back in hindsight, there's been too many moments where Barnes has been maybe overcritical of the team. Maybe dating back to early parts in the SEC year, maybe that has, in fact, hindered the confidence of some of the veteran leaders on this team. You see how often he kind of calls them out during certain moments of the game. That was a thought I had heard on Voluntary Reaction, I had seen on Twitter. So let me pose that question to you. In hindsight, do you think there's any truth to that? Do you put any kind of weight in that? What is your thought around that?
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, we know how hard Barnes is on his teams. I mean, that's no secret. It's been like that since he's been here.
Yeah,
he's always extremely hard on the team. And whether you like that or not, that's Barnes' style. And I don't know. I don't want to call these guys. I don't want to call them soft, and I'm not necessarily calling them soft. But maybe that kind of coaching style works with Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield and Jordan Bone and Jordan Bowden. Maybe that worked with those guys. And obviously, that team had the success that they did. Maybe this team isn't suited for that style of coaching. Maybe he is a little too hard on him. But, I mean, what do you do? I mean, I don't know.
Chance, what say you? Feel the same? Feel differently?
I don't necessarily know about the being too hard on guys. That's just coaching in general. But, yeah, I mean, after Saturday, it kind of broke my spirits. I mean, it seemed like
for a lot.
He can never get past Pearl. Pearl just knows how to coach against him. like Brandon said, without their best player, still get beat on the road in a game that you definitely needed. And, yes, a lot of guys, like you said, Vescovia, I think he's been broke for a while, though. Like, he's definitely just a body.
He's slow.
His defense is horrible.
I mean, and he's not even giving you the offense Mm-mm. that he did last year. It's like the flashy passes, it's almost been coached out of him.
Yeah.
So I did also notice this on Saturday against Auburn, but there were a lot of situations where Vescovia would have the ball, do a little bit of dribbling up at the top of the key. He would start to drive to the basket, and he will pick up his dribble around the elbow, yeah. either for an instant pass, which okay is fine, you're moving the ball, but in a lot of situations and in too many situations, he picks it up, off of one foot, right around the elbow. Does a fake pass, and then has to turn it around to kick it the other way. Now, I don't exactly know what kind of plays and things they're running on the offense, but it that was something that continued to frustrate me. It feels like he doesn't necessarily always get to the second gear when driving to the basket, which is something like in opposition, you see Jaden Springer be able to do really well. Jaden Springer is a guy who can make that initial cut, but then still be able to drive with aggression to the basket. Santiago Vescovia, I felt like, used to do that quite often. Used to do that when, maybe the offense was working a little bit faster, maybe he was working a little bit more through him, or at least you had less options to shoot the ball or to work with the ball. But that was something I noticed on Saturday, was that he was not finishing his drives to the basket near as often as I would like to see him do. Now, I think we probably all feel that way about the team as a whole. But yeah, man, it is it's tough. It's tough right now. Going back to a second ago, the question I had posed at the beginning of this, I think that's a really interesting thought. But I also wonder how much factors in kind of the things that don't get circulated around. In talking about the quotes, I think a lot of the times the quotes coming after the game, the biggest ones that stay in circulation are obviously going to be more critical ones. Especially during losses, right? When Rick Barnes says, "We need dogs who bite, not bark," like of course that's going to get the quote that circulated around. When he directly says, "You know what? Between now and next game, John Fulkerson needs to look in the mirror." Now I'm talking about number 10, John Fulkerson. Look in the mirror because this is not you. Like of course that's the one that's going to get circulated around more. One of the things that I've noticed myself and really kind of going through all these post-game press conferences lately, is that he is Rick Barnes after every single game. No matter if it's a good game, no matter if it's a bad game, he does praise this team for the things they do well. He does always talk about the potential. I mean, at this point, if the potential's not met, it's just not going to be met. But I do think that, he does a great job of reinforcing his players, even if that's not always the thing that gets circulated around the most in the post-game. But either way, I do find that a really fascinating point. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But hey, who knows? 865-546-8200. Maybe somebody who does know. Good morning, Phil. Welcome into the Blitz. How you doing? Welcome in.
Good morning, Fabulous.
How's it going? How's it going, Phil?
Good.
Well, I'm glad Brandon didn't fall off that deck. It had really been bad, wouldn't it?
It'd have been rough.
It'd been quite good.
The tumble.
Not good.
And, of course, the chancellor's always got a good opinion, on everything. That's good.
Although it kind of would have been maybe a better story by a small notch if he had fallen through the deck.
Had he lived.
I was saying, it sounds like you might have died, though.
Oh, Lord, that'd be awful.
Phil, it was a little bit of a disappointing weekend on all fronts, huh?
No, there's one good positive of the weekend. Catholic High School is going to state tournament. They beat McCauley for the third time this year and beat the Edwards at 18 points. And I really think what ails Tennessee basketball can be solved partially at Catholic High School and maybe at the guy from Clarksville, Tennessee, who's got Bobby Mays' affiliation.
So you're saying that Tennessee's solution is not on the roster right now?
No.
So what does this mean going forward? like for the rest of the season?
Well, it ain't going to help us the rest of the season. I think we're shot. I don't, unless he pulled a rabbit out of his hat. I don't know what he can do. You don't have a true point guard, and you don't have a good big man inside at all to give him some help. So you're kind of, I don't know what you're going to do, play five guards. I mean, Sulkerson's point now, I don't know why you're playing him.
I know. I saw a lot of people talking about, you know, hey, at least in the second half, I know he's a senior, I know he's a leader of this team, but start distributing some of his minutes. Put Combo on there. He will give you the same offensive output, and maybe he might even be a little bit better on the rebounding side of things. At least distribute some of the minutes, because if John Fulkerson is shooting, you know, is scoring 4 points, five out of his last six games, you cannot continue to give him 30 minutes a game.
Oh, that's Rick Barnes' fault. Yeah. And it's also Rick Barnes' fault and his staff's fault for not recruiting anybody for two straight years there, after, especially when Grant and Adler and all them left. That recruiting class and the one before that, they didn't get anybody to help inside. And they got some people, but they all left. Derek Walker left, B.J. Burns left. And outside of that, I mean, East Ponds is probably the only good recruit they've had the last 2 years, unless you'll put Vescovi in there, and he's deteriorating this year. He's not as good as he was last year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a regression, which has been weird to see, but I don't know if that's because you've added more shooters to this team. So maybe, you know, maybe there's certain guys on the team who don't feel as comfortable, you know, where their shot is, or at least where it is during the game. I don't know, but man, you can tell that there are some real offensive problems with this team.
Yeah, and defensively, they're not playing too good right now either. That's supposed to be their forte, is defense, and pretty much Auburn just played with them Saturday. They just, you know, dribble drive everywhere Tennessee's weaknesses are on defense, and they exploited all of them.
You kind of got the little Tennessee football approach when a really stagnant offense does absolutely nothing to ever help your defense.
And anyway, you know, the whole weekend gets capped off by Sam Horn didn't even give Tennessee a sniffer, and his dad played at Tennessee. That's even, you know, I guess shows you how bad our football program is right now.
Shows where you are. I think those postseason bans mean a lot probably to some of these kids, and just where Tennessee is not. I mean, he chose Missouri over Tennessee.
You know, I do think that, you know, and I was talking to my dad last night about this. I wonder where the generation of kids who were raised a Tennessee fan, you know, who their parents put them in Tennessee clothes before they even knew what they were doing. What happened to those kids right now? I think that, like, me and Brandon's generation were part of a, you know, part of a group of kids who were probably raised Tennessee fans, but at least still saw enough to continue to be Tennessee fans, right? Yeah. We wanted to stay with it, but now in this age of instant gratitude and instant communication and instant everything, you know, what happened to the kids that are being raised a Tennessee fan? They have even less, you know, to look back on and want to remain a Tennessee fan. We're talking about a kid who's, what, 18, 17 years old in Sam Horn? Like, he was born in 2002, 2003. This guy's seen nothing. But no. So I'm not going to blame him for, you know, oh, he was a Tennessee fan and he didn't come here. Man, like, how many Tennessee fans are staying Tennessee fans right now? We got to give them more reasons to.
Well, that's a good point. You know, that's what you do when you hire bad football coaches and bad athletic directors. That's what your football program ends up being. And we're paying for it now. I hope this coach can do something. You know, I don't have that much confidence in that bunch over there.
Yeah.
You?
You know, I'm trying not to go that direction. I'm trying to be at least right down the middle, you know, because I think there's good things to look at. But like Brandon's always said the past couple of weeks, like, you know, hey, I got to be done getting my hopes up just on off-season talk. That can be good, but really it just matters what's on the field.
Well, the key to Tennessee football next year is, can Heupel have a legitimate quarterback in either the way I look at it, it's either going to be Salter or the hooker kid from Virginia Tech. That's going to be their quarterback next year. Maybe one of them will start the first year, and then Salter will take over later. But both of those guys are going to have to be ready to play, because they're our those are the type of kids that can play this offense he's going to bring in here.
I'm not completely giving up on Bailey just yet. I mean, I want to maybe – I mean, no quarterback got developed in the past 3 years under Pruitt and Winkie. So, I mean, I'm not completely out on Harrison Bailey just yet.
I still think he has arm strength, but maybe a good quarterback coaching will get it out of him, though. You know what?
Maybe. We'll see.
Well, like you say, we haven't had nothing in 3 years but misery. Now the basketball team's catching the football disease, you know.
Baseball got a walk-off yesterday afternoon. How about that?
Well, good for them. Good for them.
Yeah, Tony V's boys.
Well, y'all hang in there.
Hey, thank
Appreciate
you for film. The call, as always.
They went 2-2 on the weekend, though.
I know. A little bit of a rough stretch, huh?
It's not a good weekend for Tennessee.
No.
Lady Vols won.
Hey.
True. Beat Auburn.
You got it, girl. You got it. Hey.
All right, here we go back here on the Blitz, 10:36 a.m. as I unplug my headphones for some reason. Sorry. Give me 1 minute here. There we go. Now I have sound. Brandon, going back a second ago, we just talked about this with Phil, and we're going to keep talking about it soon as we get into the quarterback conversation. That will likely lead off hour number two. But let me ask you this, and this is just a kind of a non-related question. But when you were growing up a Tennessee fan, that lot of topic of conversation about that over the weekend. Was there ever a sense in your mind about changing teams when you were, you know, just kind of figuring out your rooting interests and things like that?
No, not really. I went through phases where I would like other teams and kind of pull for them, but like, I don't know. There's just something in you that you just can't. There's just something different about Tennessee that it's just in you that you can't root for another team like you do for Tennessee, at least for me anyway.
I think that's a great point. And
as much as I would like sometimes to just be done with it and pick another team that
wash your hands.
It's just in there.
You know, I wonder if. For Tennessee's purposes, right? Just kind of knowing where Tennessee has been in the national picture the last 20 years or so. I wonder if the next generation of kids who are growing up Tennessee fans, like the ones we were talking about, like the Ty Simpsons of the world, like the Sam Horns of the world, who grew up Tennessee fans. Man, we've talked about this plenty of times, and this has been a reoccurring topic. But what have they seen their whole lives? They certainly might have been put in Tennessee shirts and jerseys and taken to games and watch games with their parents and things like that. But there's got to be a point where, you know, in every kid's fandom development where you choose, you know what, I like this team now instead of just this being the team that, you know, my parents might root for. And I think that in today's day and age, that is just becoming less and less of a factor of influence. Look, we've seen this on a big scale for a couple of years now. Kids who grow up Tennessee fans who don't actually go to Tennessee. I was reading an article from over the weekend, and it was going all the way back to, you know, Trevor Lawrence, Amari Rodgers, guys like that. And they talked very openly and very candidly about how they did love Tennessee growing up. But when they got here, it just wasn't the same, and they knew that immediately, and they wanted to go someplace where they knew they were going to win. That's the thing. I think in today's world of instant gratification, of the ability to pick and choose who's going to be a champion and who's not, because in football that is certainly going on, I think that is the overwhelming influence for all of these recruits. Now, Sam Horn, you're going to Missouri. I don't really know what the championship thing is on that. But my point being is that I for me at least, this is kind of a shifting point, which I think we're getting to a point where less than ever, fandom as a kid, things like that, I don't think those things matter anymore.
Well, I mean, you just
some kids, but
I mean, they're just gonna go. I mean, they're gonna go where they feel most comfortable, and where they think that they can have the most success. I mean, and you can't really blame them for that.
But don't you also think that in this world of, you know, you can put something out on the internet and immediately, you know, you can be seen, it can go viral, you can get noticed, things like that. You want to go to the places well, maybe not even you want to, but those kind of places are going to be maybe more influential, maybe more rewarding, maybe something along those lines, than going to a place where you're just saying, you know, I grew up a fan, so I want to go there now. And if it was me, I don't know if I couldn't say, you know what, this team is going to promise me. Like Alabama, Ty Simpson, that dude is going to be in the Final Four in 2 years, probably one. So I just wonder if maybe there's being a shift in recruiting, especially when it comes to, you know, these kids who grew up longtime Tennessee fans.
I don't know if there's like a shift. It's just you don't win. If Tennessee was in a better position and was winning, Ty Simpson maybe does come here. Like if you had a great season and you had been winning, I think wins translate more success in recruiting than anything. We said the same thing with Barnes when he first got here. He didn't really recruit well, couldn't get anybody until he started winning.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Winning cures all. I mean, both of these guys have ties to Tennessee, but I mean, recently that seems to be the death knell of their recruitment. If they're somehow tied to Tennessee, you can almost guarantee that they're not gonna come here. But I mean, for Ty Simpson, I mean, how do you if you're him, how do you not go to Alabama or Clemson?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you not? I mean, Nick Saban can say, "Okay, yeah, you may ride the bench for a year or two, but in 2 or 3 years, you'll be our starter and you'll be leading us to a national championship game." I mean, how do you not? And you know that's going to happen. You know it's going to happen. You know he's going to throw for 350 yards in Neyland Stadium in 2 years.
How long was Mac Jones at Alabama?
I'm not sure.
See, real quick.
He was there 4 years.
Yeah.
He sat behind Hurts and then Tua.
Yeah, last year was his third year. So, yeah, like, look at Mac Jones. Mac Jones is maybe a guy who, if you are Ty Simpson and you're looking at a guy like Mac Jones and you're saying, you know what, that's a pretty good career. I sat there for two games, 13 attempts my first year, 141 my second year. By third year, I was a starter, won a championship, Heisman contender just because I was in a perfectly set up systematic offense, and now I'm looked at as a top 15 draft pick. It's a pretty good route. That's what Alabama's doing for plenty of people. It's what Ohio State's doing. It's what Clemson, you know, they've had Trevor Lawrence for a couple of years, but that's what they could be doing. It's going to be tough. Tennessee needs something that is going to separate them from that pack. Don't know what it's going to be yet. But hey,
but I mean, let's also, yeah, we didn't get these quarterbacks, but we'd still have Harrison Bailey. Like I said, I've not given up on him. You have Caden Salter. We're in on the Caden Martin kid.
Uh-huh.
And then you got Hendon Hooker. I mean, I'm not completely out. I mean, it does suck that you got spurned by two quarterbacks that had ties to your school.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like Chance said, I mean, Tennessee's not a real desirable place to be at right now.
Yeah, you got to build your way back up. And, Brandon, that is definitely something that we are going to get into a little bit more and a little bit more in detail with some statistics and things coming up like that when we do talk about these guys at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. But until we get there, let's see. It is a Monday afternoon, or excuse me, it's a Monday morning. I think we have a pretty good week of viewing sports coming up. College basketball makeup week, right?
Yep, you got a couple makeup games in the SEC. Tonight, Rick,
yeah,
your Mavericks take on the Orlando Magic. Chance, your Bulls are taking on the Denver Nuggets. Good game on NBA TV. You got the Jazz. They still have the best record in the NBA, Jazz?
Yes.
Wow. Jazz taking on the Pelicans and Zion Williams. Zion Williams, and that should be a good game. And one of the things I love about betting on basketball is I'm always finding new player props and things like that that I like. And what's cool about our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook that we've been telling you about all season long is you can combine these different props with bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the same game parlay, and you can only find them on FanDuel. So whether it's player point total, rebounds, assist, first basket score. Let's see, what else can you combine? Money line, point spread, over under, all kinds of options for you. You can combine those into one single bet and get an even bigger payout. And right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 in site credit back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same game parlay insurance. You heard that right. Every single day. That's why we bet on FanDuel. We've been telling you, their app is so easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit money, and find your bet, and they pay out so fast. You know how fast it is? It makes other fast things seem not fast, Rick.
Oh, my God. You're talking to Usain Bolt of giving you your money back?
Maybe even faster. Pay out in as little as 24 hours, and they've always got odds boosts and specials to give you more ways to win. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and try a same-game parlay. Use promo code BLITZ at sign-up. That's promo code BLITZ. Must be 21 years or older, present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund of $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
865-546-8200. That is your number to get in on the show with us today. We would love to hear from you, talking a little basketball, talking a little football as we are making our way through the show. Don't go anywhere, though. We have the finale of hour number one. It's coming up next, and you're not going to want to miss it. Don't go anywhere. All right, here we go back here on the Blitz, 10:50 a.m. A little bit of football news as we lead you into the quarterback conversation right here in about 10 minutes at the top of the hour. But until then, again, a little bit of recruiting news. Brandy, you mentioned this a little bit about half an hour ago or so. But we did find out yesterday officially that Caden Martin will be announcing his collegiate decision on March 3rd. At 3:15 p.m. Eastern time at Knoxville Catholic in the gymnasium. So we'll be figuring out where he is headed. And then we also learned yesterday that Eric Gilbert, remember his name?
Yeah, Eric.
Former tight end for LSU, into the transfer portal.
Former teammate of Harrison Bailey.
Yep. So Eric Gilbert tweeted this out again. He spent his year at LSU last year during his freshman campaign. And then transferred out. So he tweeted, "I have decided to decommit from the University of Florida and re-enter the portal. I will not be announcing my final decision until I am enrolled into school and on campus."
Okay.
So two guys right there that potentially could have Tennessee ties. Could be making a little bit of news coming up soon.
We'll see. I mean, I don't think we get Gilbert.
I like what Gilbert's doing, though. I think sometimes you get into this big kind of mess, and you could even see that more often with all the transfers that are, you know, that the door has now been opened to. You know, they have so many different options. I like what he's doing, though. About, you know, hey, look, it's kind of been a crazy ride so far. I was at LSU, you know, now that I got this Florida thing going on, but the Florida thing's not really working out. I'm just gonna kind of calm everything down. I'm not going to announce anything. I'm not going to go back on it, you know, announce a decision and then go back on. I'm just going to take my time, enroll in school, and then you will know where I am. I think that's probably the smart way to do it.
Yeah, no outside interference.
Yeah.
Not even bad PR.
Yeah.
For the player.
Because even in a situation like this, you know, he just basically signed or committed over to Florida, you know, and now is going through this whole thing again. Maybe something came up in the meantime. As for Caden Martin, four-star quarterback from Knox Catholic. Let's see. I think everybody knows who Caden Martin is in terms of, you know, old Tennessee history around here. T. Martin, legendary father, football, Tennessee. Amari Rodgers is also a brother of his.
Do you think it helps or hurts Tennessee's chances that his father is no longer employed by the university?
Definitely hurts. Definitely with what, like, rumors are, probably how it went down. That he wanted to to be
that on. That he wanted to stay on.
Yeah, that he wanted. I mean, the way Peerless Price talked about that day whenever Heupel got hired, or that even maybe that he thought that he maybe should have got a look as an interim. Yeah, I definitely think it would hurt. I mean, I don't think he would ever tell his son probably not to come, because I think he does love the university that much, but I definitely think it hurts your chances.
I think Brandon,
would you want to go play somewhere that just fired your dad? They ain't winning over there right now anyways, but and then they also fired your father. And your brother went to Clemson, where he's going to go make money in the NFL when he gets drafted this spring.
He tweeted his schools. What other schools is he looking at? I think Arizona State's one.
Yes. Oregon was one. Oregon, Arizona State, and Miami and Tennessee. They're your four. Hmm. Brandon, I think that anybody who's committing right now, Caden Martin, Ty Simpson, Sam Horn, I think these are all extremely tough gets for Tennessee just because of the turnover. You talk about the turnover of T. Martin in Caden's case, but you know it's also good. It just goes back to the whole staff, the whole administration. It's a huge turnover. These guys basically spent their entire recruiting season spent with a totally different Tennessee staff, different Tennessee director, different Tennessee everything. I think that Heupel and especially the offensive staff, I think they're going to get some pretty dang good recruits, man. I think that they're going to win some guys over. I think they're going to be able to talk to some guys really well. I think they're going to be able to present what they got. But I think that's going to take a little bit of time. Again, I think that for these guys that, you know, have only been around for the Heupel administration for, what, less than a month? I think that's going to be a tougher get.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of playing from behind as far as the recruiting goes, at least this cycle. I don't know, maybe when – by the next recruiting cycle, maybe things will be a little bit more favorable for Tennessee.
I think you will see that. And I don't even think you'll have to wait that long. I just think that, you know, hey, let these guys get under their feet a little bit. Give them a little bit more than, I don't know, say 2 to 3 weeks to convince a guy to come over to Tennessee with the brand new staff, you know, which is basically what they've been trying to do with some of these quarterbacks until then. But again, Caden Martin announcing his decision March 3rd, 3:15 p.m. Eastern Time at the Knox Catholic Gym. And Eric Gilbert is in the portal as well. All right, guys, hour number two coming up next. What are we going to talk about? Well, we're going to be leading off talking about, in a little bit more detail, Ty Simpson and Sam Horn. What does that actually mean for the future? And how disappointed, how worried should you be about where things are right now and what that means? Well, we'll give you that answer coming up next right here at the top of 11 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to The Blitz on Fox Sports Knoxville.